Welcome to the Title Town Times, where we bring you all the news coming out of 1265 Lombardi Avenue. My name is Nicholas Fargo, and with me is my co-host Robert Martin, and it is a Victory Monday podcast, everybody, 2-0.
Great feeling, man. What's up, Packer Nation?
What is going on, everybody? Now, this game had us on the edge of our seats, I'm sure, but the Packers came away with a win 21-16 over the Minnesota Vikings during their home opener at Lambeau Field. And honestly, I'll take it over a tie any day.
Oh, absolutely. What a difference from last year. It feels so good to be 2-0 and 2-0 in the North. What a start.
Especially 2-0 in the North. That's critical down the line, hopefully. One thing that I noticed a lot of people were complaining about, and myself included in the heat of the moment, was even though we went to a 21-0 start, after that, we just could not get the ball rolling anymore. And part of me wonders if we need to question the offensive scheme, but also I wonder if we should just be giving credit to Mike Zimmer for being able to make those adjustments.
Yeah, likely it's a combination of the two. I think LaFleur is growing as a head coach. Obviously, I think the foot did come off the gas pedal a little bit, but at the end of the day, we do have to tip our cap to a very good defense and a absolutely grandmaster when it comes to scheme on defense. Mike Zimmer's got a history of keeping our guys in check, actually.
Yeah, for sure. And I remember he said during press conferences that he has, like, sleepless nights trying to figure out how to stop Aaron Rodgers. So that's just shows the amount of respect that Zimmer has for Rodgers and what he's willing to do to be able to stop him during games. And it that hard work just shows in that game for sure.
Yeah, it does. And he was dealt kind of a tough hand because he had his number three and number four, arguably the cornerback out for yesterday's game. So he had to do a lot of scheme, I feel, and he made some adjustments because it just wasn't there from about the second quarter on.
Right. I just remember Harrison Smith having one hell of a game on defense. He was literally everywhere, and it's just so annoying that we have to play a guy like of his caliber every two games.
Two games every year. You know, Harrison Smith's just one of those guys. I mean, he can get deep in a defense and take the top away. He can come up into the run game and make him tackles. He can blitz. The guy's a freak. He does it all, and the Vikings are lucky to have him.
Yeah, for sure. But another question I have to ask is, would Packers fans be happier if the Packers spread out their scores? Instead of building up a 21-0 lead in three straight drives, if they would be happier with the Packers like getting those drives during different points of the game, if that makes sense.
It does, you know, and it's probably tough to answer, you know, for all the Packer fans, but at the end of the day, I like seeing a fast start. I think it's advantageous. You can stay balanced. You don't have to put the entire weight on Rodgers' shoulders, you know, having him throw 40 times a game. I mean, that's not a recipe for success. And, you know, Aaron Jones, what a game he had.
For sure.
Yeah, and I attribute that to a fast start.
Yeah, for sure. Offensive line played a lot better in the run game this time around. So credit to them for that.
Yeah, credit the line for making those holes, and credit the line for also keeping that backside, you know, clean. It seems to me like the last few years of McCarthy, we had so many plays happening from the backside. We just didn't get that sealed off, and guys would make that play from behind. And that just didn't happen yesterday, and that was really, really nice to see.
Very true. Guard play was still kind of shaky for me, and I think that LaFleur saw that too, and he benched Lane Taylor for a couple of drives and let Elton Jenkins in. So that's really got to say something about the development of Jenkins.
Yeah, it says something for the development of Jenkins, and it surely should raise a red flag for Lane Taylor. He knows that, you know, Jenkins is right behind him, and he's got to feel that pressure. He did come up with a huge block at the end of the game, though, to really seal the deal and get that last first down that we needed. He was really critical on that play, so that was nice to see because he's been subpar to this point.
Yeah, very true. And also, a couple of miscues that I feel like really led to the downfall of the momentum of the offense. One of them being Geronimo Allison's fumble. He had the first down. All he had to do was come down with the ball, and not fumble it, and he just couldn't do that. And that, I think that took away a lot of momentum from the offense.
Yeah, that was a huge play. And I look at Geronimo Allison in that space, and he caught the ball plenty early. It's not like one of those strip fumbles where you catch the ball and you don't see where the traffic is from. You take a football or make a football move and you get stripped or whatever. He had plenty of time to see this contact. In fact, he ran into the contact. That's inexcusable. In fact, when he covered up the ball, somebody got their hands in and stripped it. It wasn't even a helmet to the ball or a shoulder to the, you know, the hand that's carrying the ball or whatever else. That was an inexcusable turnover.
Yeah, for sure. But we also have to give him credit for that touchdown he caught during that early stage of the game.
Oh yeah, he actually went up above and beyond. What did he say? He climbed the ladder, and I don't think you could say it any better. I mean, he went up high and way over the top of the defense and brought that thing down. That was a very nice play.
Yeah, another killer was that three and out where Rodgers tried to high point it to Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and Marquez couldn't just bring it in. He held the ball up for too long, allowing the defensive back to swat it out of his hand.
Yeah, that reminded me of the play back when the Giants were in the Super Bowl. Remember when Eli Manning threw that ball up and who was the receiver that pinned the ball up on his
hand? I forget his name too.
Exactly. But that play actually reminded me a lot like it because he kept that ball so high and I felt like he had time to tuck it. But for some reason or other, he just kind of kept it high and allowed that Viking to take it out of there.
It's David Tyree. I just remembered.
David Tyree. That's right.
Yeah. But yeah, and that's just part of the development of MVS. He's still a young receiver with a whole lot of potential. And I feel like he gets overlooked by a lot of people, but I think he's on the track to becoming a regular part of this offense.
Yeah, I do too. And, you know, you look at Devontae Adams and, you know, he's getting double teamed. In fact, we've seen the Bears triple team him. And as I think they look at Devontae and the plays that he's making, they're going to spend more time by the week trying to take him out of the game plan. Somebody has to step up. And who better than somebody like an MVS who's, first of all, can run like the wind. And apparently he's getting now where he's just playing fast instead of having to think so much. That was according to Aaron Rodgers. So I think he's trending up. We just have to be a little bit patient. We have to remember this guy's in his first year of starting. I mean, he didn't start last year. You know, we just got to be patient.
For sure. One thing I also wanted to point out was this sack on Rodgers really kind of set me off a little bit. It kind of threw me off a little bit. They had Jimmy Graham in pass protection against Danielle Hunter, who is one of the better defensive ends in this league. And while Jimmy Graham can catch and he's good in the red zone, he has never been known as a blocker. I do not understand why we had him blocking and not Mercedes Lewis.
Yeah, great point. I don't know either. A knock on Jimmy Graham has always been his inability to block and steal. And you know, you got Danielle Hunter, who I believe had about 16, maybe 16 and a half sacks last year. This is a premier pass rusher coming into his prime. And we did keep a running back to help chip on that play, if you notice, but he also just whiffed. So, I mean, Jimmy Graham should take the brunt of it. He's got to do much better. But our running back didn't do it either on that particular play.
I agree. Another point I wanted to make was the miscue of the Packers thinking that they had a first down, but it was actually a fourth down, and they wanted to get to the line and run the play before the whistle blew. I don't know if that was a miscommunication or what, but that was another thing that I found very strange about that game.
Yeah, it was very strange, and especially, you know, at the pro level, and then you have somebody who is as intelligent as Rodgers. I mean, this guy, you know, went to Cal for one thing. I mean, he's extremely smart. So to have one of those kind of blunders, it makes you wonder like how that exactly happened. Did he get some misinformation? Did the referees not do a good job communicating that it was fourth down? I mean, something happened because he was.
I think what I heard was the ball was initially placed at what Rodgers thought was the first down marker, but then they replaced it. So I think Rodgers kind of just saw that initial spot and went up to the line.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you can rest assured that likely that will never happen again. We may have seen the one and only.
Right, for sure. And but let's get to the positives here. The thing is, even though the Packers' offense was stifled, you still have to realize, like, fans still have to realize that the offense scored enough points to win.
Yeah, they don't give style points in the NFL. You have to win by 1 point minimum. And they definitely did that. And I'm just so impressed with this defense. I can't rave enough about them. They're put in bad positions. You know, the Vikings, if we're really honest, ran the ball up and down the field. They really ran, took it to Green Bay. Really questionable play call. You can talk about with the Kevin King interception, but they still have to make that play. And that's not an easy play. If you really look, Kevin King was up in that air a long time.
Yeah.
High pointed the ball, came down. Right away when I saw the ball roll away, I thought he had dropped it. But you look at the replay, he literally had it. He was laying on the ground when Preston Smith came through and hit it with his knee or whatever. But it was the right call. He definitely had enough control of that ball. And
for sure.
And the rest is history.
Yeah, and Jair had a couple of times where he should have gotten an interception too. So that was kind of disappointing, but glad he was there in position to at least make a play.
Yeah, and I look at Jair, and at the end of the day, you know that on that play, he was – think about how athletic this guy is. He's a cornerback on the other side of the field when they ran that play to Diggs, that deep post route. And not many cornerbacks on the other side of the field are going to be able to flip their hips and make even a play on that ball, much less almost pick it off. I mean, he looked into the sun. He said he lost the ball, and it went right between his hands. I mean, really, it was kind of a fluky-looking play that it was a touchdown.
Oh, yeah.
He'll make that kinda, play. Yeah, he'll make that kinda, play forward.
It's kind of reminiscent of the kind of fluky reception that I think it was actually Diggs that made the, no, it was Thielen last year, that it went between two Packers and it went straight to him. So mm-hmm. It was kind of reminiscent of that. So I don't know how these two receivers make these Houdini-like plays, but I'm glad that, for one thing, Stephon Diggs had that mental miscue of taking off his helmet after that touchdown that caused Blair Walsh to miss that extra point.
Yeah, it did. And one thing that I've always noticed about the Vikings since Mike Zimmer, well, first of all, I'll say this. I have a lot of respect for Mike Zimmer. I think he's a heck of a good coach. I'm shocked that he didn't get a chance earlier than he did to be a head coach. And one thing that he said in the press conference that it made me chuckle out loud was it was a selfish play on Stephon Diggs' part. And that's exactly what it was. He knows the rules. You keep your helmet on until you get to the sidelines. The fact that he unbuckled it and pulled his hat off to talk to smack to the crowd, even if it was Vikings fans too, whatever. It cost his team, and it cost him big.
For sure. I was also watching Kirk Cousins' press conference, and while he did give himself credit, well, he didn't give himself credit. He blamed himself a lot for what happened, what transpired during that game. You got to wonder, because I've heard him say those things several times, and you got to wonder if he's actually taken this to heart.
Yeah, his MO, his whole career, he's been a 500 quarterback, and I know that even sub-500 quarterback, so winning has been his kryptonite. He just hasn't won. I mean, he's put up gaudy stats. If he can sit back in the pocket and throw, he's very talented in that way, but he's not a winner. And for some reason or other, he just hasn't had that moxie to get it done. And yesterday was more of the same.
Yeah. And that was a key to the Packers' victory, in my opinion. I think I pointed that out. We needed to rattle Cousins and make sure that pocket wasn't clean. And for the most part, that's what we did.
Yeah, he was even feeling some ghost pressures. I mean, there were certain times where, because we had rattled him so much, when some of the blitz packages didn't get home, it's almost as if he felt like they did. His feet were constantly kind of pitter-pattering around, and he was getting the ball out earlier than he probably had to. On that one play, I remember vividly, he overthrew Thielen. Thielen was wide open. I know the announcers made it sound like he had to drop it in this little bucket or whatever, but it truly wasn't the case. He just had to throw it over the top of the short corner and in front of the safety. NFL quarterbacks are supposed to be able to do that with their eyes closed. Cousins missed him.
Yeah, for sure. And we also have to give credit to the secondary. I watched this video on Twitter with Brian Baldinger. He made a commentary video of how great at man coverage this Packers secondary has become. Jair was making plays. Darnell Savage was making plays. Kevin King obviously made that interception. And you just got to think, not even like a couple of years ago, we were considering the Packers secondary to be one of the worst in the NFL when you had people like Ladarius Gunter and Demarius Randall playing corner. But now, in such a short amount of time, it seems, you have, I'm just going to say it, I think it's an elite group at this point. The Packers rank as the second best defense overall, according to ESPN. And I think the secondary has a huge part to do with it.
Yeah, the secondary really does. They've gotten so much more athletic. They've added so much team speed. And to be honest, I have to make a little confession. I was very frustrated with Jair yesterday when he, in my mind, dropped both interceptions, and one actually led to a touchdown, or it was caught for a touchdown. The more I think about it, I've kind of changed a little bit, because throughout that entire game, he had Thielen on lock. I mean, and King had Stephon Diggs on lock. Those guys. I think Diggs maybe came away with just that one catch for the touchdown. I mean, granted, it was still a big play, but if somebody were to tell me that Diggs will catch one ball and Thielen will have like 60 yards or something receiving and not get in the end zone, I'm taking it all day and twice on Sunday.
For sure. I do have to bring this up, though. A lot of Vikings fans were complaining about that red zone touchdown by Stephon Diggs that was called back. I think even Tony Dungy was saying this during Football Night in America on NBC. He was saying Dalvin Cook wasn't blocking downfield. He was trying to get off of his block. And I'm just like, are you looking at the film right now? His arms are extended like he's blocking.
Yeah, you know, I think it was an obvious call. The one thing that I don't really like, though, with this new reviewing of pass interferences and things like that, when does it stop? I was listening this morning, and are they going to look at all of the linemen to make sure that they're not holding on a 2-yard touchdown dive from now on? Are they going to look at, for example, just think of all the things that would have happened in that play that they could have actually looked at to call a penalty. I know the NFL wants to get it right, but I kind of liken this whole pass interference thing to last year's focus on roughing the passer. It was a joke from the very beginning. It cost the Packers a game for sure. And but you know what? The Vikings can maybe that this one was costly as well. It is what it is. I mean, I can't. We've been on both sides of it, so I know what it feels like.
Right. And to that, I have to say, it wasn't reviewed for, like, all scoring plays are reviewed. And they saw that Dalvin Cook was blocking during that review for the touchdown. And that's why I think they called it back.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And again, I think that the right call was made. I guess I have a little concern on the direction the NFL is going with it, because, again, you can look at it from a lot of other standpoints. Did they look at the left tackle on that play? I mean, was he holding? What if they would have determined Dalvin Cook wasn't interfering, but yet the left tackle literally drug one of our guys down? Would that get called? I mean, I just don't know where we're going, and I guess I kind of like the human element too much. I'm not a big replay guy.
Right. It's hard to say right now this early in the season, but I understand what you're saying for sure.
Yeah.
But we have to give this a little bit of attention. A lot of people are making something out of nothing when Aaron Rodgers got into that heated discussion with Matt LaFleur on the sidelines. Honestly, I think, again, a lot of people are making something out of nothing.
Yeah, it's a narrative, and it started way back when LaFleur first started because of the rift that McCarthy had with Rodgers, and vice versa. And there likely was something there, but you know that also comes with not winning ball games. I mean, 2 years in a row, the Packers did not qualify for the playoffs. That causes a strain on everybody. These are hyper competitive athletes, hyper competitive coaches, and if there's not arguments on the sidelines, I'd be kind of questioning what their goals are in the end, because every single team is going to have those kind of arguments. They want to win that bad. They're wired to do that. And when things don't go well, they should be able to vocalize that with each other.
And I feel like a lot of people are not focusing on the times when Aaron Rodgers is seen next to Matt LaFleur talking about the scheme. Brandon Marshall actually was on First Take this morning, and he brought up a really good point. He said that you want to see your players arguing like that with the coaches because you want to see them have that competitive drive. You don't want them, and he actually even took a direct shot at Jay Cutler here, saying, like, you don't want them on the sidelines just going, like, oh, Jay Cutler. Yeah. He was saying, yeah, he said that he likes that Aaron Rodgers was fiery there, and it happens all the time. But it, for some reason, they're focusing it extra on Aaron.
Yeah, they really are. I feel like it's been unfair, and I think that they've tried to paint him a certain way. He's hyper-competitive. He wants to win. He leads by example. I feel like LaFleur has also handled this very well. In fact, he faced the press who asked him those questions, and he said, you know what? It's not going to be the last time we have a discussion like that. I mean, these two guys want the same thing. And you're right. You're exactly right. They don't focus on some of these other things that are happening. How about Aaron Rodgers basically presenting the game ball to him after week one and saying that, you deserve this in your first win as a head coach in the NFL. I mean, if there is this huge dislike, why would he take the time to do that? But let's not talk about it when you're the mainstream media because it doesn't fit the narrative.
Correct. Tom Brady, you will probably see him yelling at Josh McDaniels a lot, and they'll say, oh, he's just being hyper-competitive. But you see Aaron Rodgers argue with Matt LaFleur, and they say, oh, he's just being a drama queen. And I feel like that's just a double standard that we have there.
Yep. I agree. And I think the only way that they will diffuse that is by continuing to win. And I think that they're still going to have those kinds of spats. But I think as long as they're winning, I think that's the cure-all for a whole lot of what ails someone.
I agree. Now, approaching this next game against the Denver Broncos, I think this is, well, you've got the Eagles as well, but this is the last time, in my opinion, that we're going to be facing a top-notch front seven that we saw, again, take it to Chicago. And you can take a performance against Chicago with a grain of salt if you want. But still, Von Miller and Bradley Chubb are an elite tandem. And that's something that, again, Bakhtiari and Bulaga have to prepare for. But I like that we're coming out of these games against fearsome defenses with wins.
For sure. And I mean, that at the end of the day, that's the goal. I look at the Broncos a little bit nervous if this is a trap game, if you will. I mean, it's one of those games where it might be easy to say, well, the Packers should be able to get this one and win this ball game. But the Broncos are scary, especially from the standpoint that when you're 0-2, your playoff chances go down significantly. You go 0-3 to start a year. Good night. I mean, so the Broncos need to win a football game. They need to win a football game soon. And
right.
The Packers are next on the docket. So we're going to see a hungry football team that wants to put a chink in the Packers' armor for sure.
And they nearly pulled it off against Chicago yesterday, too. Keep that in mind.
Yeah, what a bizarre ending that was, wasn't it? I mean, I can't believe how that ended. I mean, you have a head coach for the Broncos who was the defensive coordinator for the Bears. It comes down to tying the game at home, which most coaches will take the one point, extra point, and take it into overtime. He's got cojones. He goes for two. They have a penalty, backs them up. They miss the extra point, which the Bears have an offsides penalty, moves them back close. They go for two, and they make it. I mean, just the roller coaster of that, and then not to be able to hold the Bears offense with what was there 30 seconds to go or something like that.
Yeah, and that's something that we have to be cautious about. I think Vic Fangio is one to want to take chances. So I think that the Packers need to be on their toes about this kind of stuff. Like, watch for the fake punts, watch for them going for two in the fourth quarter near the end of the game instead of wanting to tie it, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, absolutely. I look at, you're right. When you're 0-2, what do you have to lose? So, I mean, let's say the Broncos win the coin toss and they defer like many teams do. I would like to see that front line stick a little tighter and not just turn and take off to set up some blocking for the return. Make sure that thing is kicked deep. An onside kick would be a horrible way to start a game. And if there's any team out there that would do it, it's an 0-2, almost, you know, just thirsty for a win.
No kidding. But let's celebrate this victory Monday. Let's celebrate another win, 2-0. For the first time in years. I think the last time we started 2-0 was in 2015. So let's enjoy this.
Yeah, absolutely. And the last time a rookie coach for the Packers went 2-0, his name was Vince Lombardi. So
I hear he's a little famous. So
he's got a little bit of cred. Yes, he does.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, anyways, guys, this is the end of our podcast for this week. Join us for later this week, and we'll be previewing the Denver Broncos game. Keep it right here, and go Pack, go.
Absolutely, go Pack.
All right. Have a good night.